We're gonna.
You'll have it anyway.
We're gonna spend a little more time on Passover. Passover is, as I said last night, it's no matter when in time that you became a believer or born again or whatever we want to call it, you celebrate that death of you on Passover. Just consider the three feasts, the three major feasts: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Every male had to appear at the temple for those three feasts or be cut off from his people. Now, the females didn't have to do it because they were covered by whoever was their male counterpart, whether it was their husband or father or grandfather, whoever it was.
Cut off spiritually or nationally?
Huh?
Cut off spiritually?
Cut off, period.
Socially?
From the kingdom of God.
Oh, okay.
And that's the whole idea. That's what everything
okay,
about.
Okay, I'm just trying to separate the spiritual side from the political side.
And so no matter when it happened, you were crucified with Christ on the day of Passover. That is the default position, no matter what it is that you are. Let me back up a minute. Almost instantly, the evil one raised his head from the deadly head wound. And so from the beginning, you have walked from the beginning of your birth. You have walked, let's go to Ephesians 2. Let's go there. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life, or conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now that was your nature. It was my nature. It was all men's nature, to fulfill the desires of the lusts of the flesh and the mind. Lust here has nothing to do with, you know, it's a poor, in our language, lust means something sexual, but it just means wanting the condition you're in to be different than it is, wanting more than you have. So the point of it is, especially in today's world, you become a believer just by sort of accepting Jesus, and then you're taught that Jesus helps you fulfill the lust of the flesh and the desires of the mind. But the default position is, in you, is that position. That's why you mortify. Well, let's go to Colossians chapter something or other. Colossians 3. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. You are dead. You are dead. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify. Mortify. Mortify simply means consider dead. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth, etc., etc.
Can I ask a question? Members means are what? You, everything about us?
Everything about you. But without that, without mortifying, your default position is always the evil one. Without considering your death, the evil one continually raises his death. I mean, he's always there. He doesn't continually do it. I mean, that's if you're not dead, then it's him that's alive. And it never stops. Go to Galatians now, chapter 2. Verse 15.
Which chapter?
Chapter 2. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So believing in is the starting point. Being justified by his faith is where you must end up. And verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, that liveth, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You don't have any faith. You live by his faith, but only if you abandon yourself. This is why this age we live in is so incredibly evil.
Wasn't it always incredibly evil?
Well, but it wasn't done in the name of God. Now, in the name of God, I'm teaching you how to improve the curse. So Passover is a celebration of all those things. Fundamentally, though, it's the celebration of your death along with Christ and his resurrection in you. But everything else, so if you build again the things that you destroyed, then you make yourself a transgressor. In other words, if you return to the manner of life, before you were a believer, then you make yourself a transgressor. If I build again the things which I destroy. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth. Does everybody understand that? But Christ that liveth in me. It's his life in me. But once this thing starts to work, Christ takes the lowest seat. prison ministry is to cause you to release Jesus Christ from the prison that you have him in inside of you. So, buddy, this is the basic, this is the fundamental basis of Christianity. Your death. Anybody have any thoughts, responses?
Everything about the world convinces us we have a separate identity. Every single thing you can look at is busy trying to tell you you have a separate identity. And it's difficult to accept that there's only two. It's difficult to really, even if you can intellectually accept it, it's difficult to believe it.
Yeah, because your fundamental program is that there is a, even if you're a believer, there's a fundamental program going on that says there's a neutral position.
It says that I have some identity other than
that. And that you have time. You don't have to deal with this right now. What?
Green.
You're green?
Green.
Scott?
He doesn't look green.
Hmm? Understand this? Let's go to Revelation 13. Verse 1. And I stood beside the sand of the sea. This is John speaking. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, we're going to stop right there. Now, I want you to go to Revelation 17. Remember, revelation is taking place all the time. It's because it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a prediction of future events. And there came one of the seven angels, in verse 1, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And many waters is the face of the... it's always a parable of the human race. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Same thing John saw. But this time he's seeing it as the woman. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now that... The seven mountains are the seven mountains or seven high places of each person's mind. And that's where she's seated.
And so it is the beast that has the seven heads and ten horns.
Right. That's what we're going to go back to.
I thought you said that was the woman. It was the beast.
Right. She sits, still on, same top, beast, she still sits on top of the beast.
That has the beast seven itself has the seven.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just making sure.
All right. But she's arrayed in purple and decked with scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. And remember, the golden in that golden cup is everything that you consider precious. Everything the human race considers esteemable, precious. And that's their legion.
I think that after what we've just finished saying about there are only two, even the Bible here talks about people as if they have an individual thing. I mean, it's the kings, as if there's more than one, and people as if there's more than one. Even the Bible.
I don't understand.
It confirms this thing that the position where we see ourselves as being individuals and not as one of only two, but even the Bible has to speak of it that way. And I can understand why, because there wouldn't be a story here if it was the woman is sitting upon the woman and having the woman, and the woman that's, you know, acting as a king did this.
Oh, anyway, go back to 13 now. I just wanted you to see it was the same beast. The same beast Daniel saw. And we won't go into the details of this in verse 2 of chapter 13, but we will eventually. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. There's only one thing that all the world has wondered after, and that's themselves. But in doing so, they're worshiping the beast, the dragon. Well, first, we'll see, but it's the beast, and then if you're worshiping the beast, which is you, then you're worshiping the dragon, which is Satan.
Is it?
Well, let's look at it. In verse 4, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's what you do in your mind. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blaspheming. His power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, what's the mystery of 42 months? It's the time from the baptism of Christ to his death on the cross, 42 months. Now, it's the time, spiritually, it can be 1 second or it can be 50 years. It's the time you move from believing in him to living by the faith of him. That's the 42 months. Because during that 42 months, before you know the faith of him and live by that faith and not have you in the picture any longer, then the dragon still has his power. Amen? All right. In verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Now, how do you blaspheme? Blaspheme is a legal word in the law. It means to deny the foundation. And the foundation is only Jesus Christ. So your thought process always denies the foundation. All right. Then it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. All people and all kinds and all nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. If the earth is your dwelling place, you can have the label of Christian on you, or the label of Muslim, or the label of atheist, or anything else. But if you're dwelling on the earth, you're worshiping the evil one. You're worshiping the dragon. That's why our dwelling place is the New Jerusalem. Until you know that, and just stop visiting it every once in a while, and live there. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now comes this really subtle beast next. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. That's when the beast becomes a Christian. Watch. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So, unless you die, you're just a little lamb, you're just a beast with the appearance of two horns, and you're acting, you're like a little lamb, but you're not. Because you're still speaking and thinking according to the prince of the power of the air. Go down to verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he have the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666, and his number is 666 because he can never reach seven. Rest, Sabbath. No matter what he does, no matter how much money he makes, no matter where he goes, no matter how many drugs, no matter how much alcohol, you can never reach seven. Peace of mind, rest. Anybody know about that? It's always at work. It's always there. Even in the middle of the night, it's always working. Trying to find some place where there's seven and still keep you alive. And the number of a man, it's the number of all men. 666. 666 is, and in the Bible, if you look, every place where it talks about something written on the forehead, it's a parable for how you think. And it was written in your hand, I mean, in your forehead, this is how you think, and it's written on your right hand, because what you think is what you do. But you can never be at rest. 666666, ad nauseum. It can never reach seven. You can celebrate all of Passover. You can celebrate all the feasts. You can study the Bible till hell freezes over, but you'll never find seven because you're trying to keep yourself alive. Think of these things. Anybody have any response?
Well, at the risk of starting a long thing, I was wondering if the mouth of the lion, you know, the scripture reads the mouth of the lion, because the lion is loud, and the paw of the bear, because that's where the strength is, and the leopard, because the leopard is camouflaged and hides.
We'll go into that later.
Okay. Well,
good. The leopard, the reason for that, those animals, is because it shows exactly how every man operates. See why maybe death is something, your death? Let's go to Revelation 14. I knew we weren't done.
We don't have to go very far?
Well, I closed my Bible. I had to go.
Oh.
She didn't say take a big time.
right. Well, that we the rest of 14 is about all about the Lamb and then how through the Lamb Babylon is destroyed. And Babylon is cause and effect. If you live by cause and effect, then you've got the Babylonian garment on it. But here we go. Verse 12. Remember, just said up here, here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now it defines what it is. Verse 12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that, one, keep the commandments of God, two, here's the patience of the saints, one, keep the commandment of God, two, and the faith of Jesus Christ, three. Those three things, the patience of the saints, the commandments of God, and the faith of Christ, is what every believer should be concerned with. That's it. Then everything else is done. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them, never again leave them. This is what gets you in trouble. You have some harebrained idea, and then the works lead you.
You got a good idea folder.
Well, Gary was the only one to admit he had the folder. The rest of you have the folder in your mind. Good idea folder. All right, rest from your labors. You've entered Sabbath. You've entered the rest that's been there since the foundation of the world. And your works do follow you. That's a good place to quit. Everybody understand? Take a big guy.